It is time for TY's 20 right here on WordPress Radio, and so much has happened in the world of sports since my last show, especially in the world of baseball. So let's jump right into it. On last month's show, we talked about our predictions for who the Cubs would hire as general manager. And Andrew and I both agreed that a guy like Theo Epstein would be a long shot for the job. But not only did the Cubs hire Theo, they made him president of baseball operations and are bringing in Jed Hoyer to be the GM. They also brought McLeod over, who's one of the best scouts in the game. And they got to keep Tim Wilkin and Oneri Fleeta as scouts. Bottom line is the Cubs now have probably the best front office in the game of baseball. We'll talk more about that in a little bit. But first, we've got to talk about the World Series. And as much as I was shocked that Theo Epstein is a Cubby, that doesn't even compare to the shock feeling I still have about the World Series, not only because it was great to watch, but because of the outcome. And hey, it pains me to say it, but the St. Louis Cardinals have done it again, their 11th world title. It's insane to me that they even made the playoffs, then to roll past the Phillies, Brewers, and Rangers, and of course, Game 6, down to their final strike in two different innings to win the title was just unbelievable. Now, I do have a couple beefs with the world title. Number one, them having home field advantage is beyond stupid to me. Bud Selig's little all-star game rule is pretty insane, if you ask me. And the Rangers were a better team than the Cardinals all year long. They won more games. On top of that, the Cardinals were a wild card team. Didn't even win their division. So there's really no reason that they should have had home field advantage. And if you think that's not a big deal, think again. The home team has won Game 7 of the World Series 9 straight times. So it is a big deal. I also have a bit of a problem with the rainout situation, which I know you can't really control the weather. But that rainout allowed Chris Carpenter to pitch 3 times in a 7-game series, and that's just crazy to me. In 7 games, the Rangers faced Carpenter 3 times and all other starters 4 times. That's something that shouldn't be allowed. I know it's happened before, but I think it's just stupid, plain and simple. It's kind of like high school when, one or two pitchers, if you have basically an ace, it's going to take you through the tournament. And that's just not fair to me. Baseball is more about the team as a whole, and one guy should not be able to pitch so many innings. That said, hats off to Carpenter for pitching that well on 3 days rest in one of the biggest games of his life. Now, would the Rangers have won the World Series if they were at home or if they didn't have to face Carpenter 3 times? It's very possible. It's maybe even probable. But I will say this, even with all of this said, the Cardinals look like a team of destiny. Their Game 6 win was one of the best baseball games in history, and they definitely earned their championship. I'm highly impressed, and you know, as a Cub fan, it just pains me like you wouldn't believe to see them win another title. But I have to give credit when it's due. They won a World Series without their best pitcher, Adam Wainwright. And that's kind of a strange thing. As good as Wainwright is, both of their World Series titles this decade were without him as a starting pitcher. He was their closer for the first time they won, and this time, of course, he was hurt. But that just proves, once again, baseball is a funny game, and if you sneak into the playoffs, anything can happen. But the Cardinals are world champs. Beginning of this year, Seth and I did our predictions on this show, and wow, did we get this one wrong. We each picked the Cardinals to finish fourth in the National League Central Division, mainly because of the Wainwright injury. But sure enough, they defy all odds again and win the World Series. Crazy stuff, but it was one heck of a World Series to watch. Now we need to move on because I cannot talk about the Cardinals for more than 5 minutes at a time before I have to lie down somewhere. The Cubs got their man, Theo Epstein. He's been having interview after interview this past week. The thing that I liked him say the most was a clip, and I'm going to play for you right now. Here it is.
To me, baseball is better with tradition. Baseball is better with history. Baseball is better with fans who care. Baseball is better in ballparks like this. Baseball is better during the day. And baseball is best of all when you win. That ultimately is why I'm here today.
So I know that everybody sounds like they know what they're talking about, and everyone gets excited when somebody gets a job for the first time at their press conference. But Theo Epstein really sounded like he knows what he's talking about, and we're very, very excited to have him here. Other notable things that Theo said, he said he's going to bring a Cubs way to play. He's going to work as hard as any person ever in the game to give the Cubs the best scouting department in baseball. He's intrigued to build the team and eventually bring a consistent winner to the north side of Chicago. He's not sure about Mike Quadi just yet. He's not sure about free agency, but he does assure fans that while the scouting will take some time and they have a lot of work to do, they will definitely look for ways to improve the team and hope to contend as early as next year if possible. And for me, I feel like for the first time, I can say that I'm truly proud about being a Cubs fan as far as the direction of the team goes. I mean, best front office in the game, surely that'll help us as we move forward. I can't wait to see the decisions that he makes. It's a very exciting time to be a Cub fan moving forward, and we'll have some answers next time we have a show about some of the decisions that he will have made at that point. I'm definitely looking forward to it. At this time, we're going to bring in a guest, Landon Callahan, not to be confused with Patches O'Houlihan. Landon, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing, T.Y.? How's it going today?
I'm doing great. Landon is a White Sox and Bears fan, but he also follows the Cubs closely and can definitely share his opinion about them. And so my first question to you, Landon, is what do you think so far about the crazy off seasons of both the Cubs and the White Sox?
Well, not a Cubs fan, but following them, it's fun to see. I mean, you get a young guy in there who knows what he's doing, you know. That seems a great choice. And as far as the White Sox are concerned, you get the manager's pedestal, you know, and they just get recycled. It's nice to see a fresh face in there. Ventura, he's going to struggle, but I like the hires on both sides of town.
It's definitely been exciting. Now, Robin Ventura, there's a lot of talk about him, how he obviously has no experience whatsoever, and then some of the Cub fans are kind of like, well, what's up with Ryan Sandberg riding the buses in the minor leagues for 5 years and not getting a shot, or at least not yet, and Robin Ventura just kind of gets the job. But I like when guys have a good feeling about a manager and they give him a shot. How about you?
Yeah, you know, I love what Kenny Williams actually did. He had a good feeling. And when you get it, when you interview a guy and you got a feeling that a guy can do a job, you hire him. I mean, Jim Henry made that mistake with Sandberg. I think on that side of town, and not that Quadi was a bad hire, but I think Sandberg was more fit for the job at the time and going into the future. Because I don't see Quadi going past this year. If he does, I don't see him going past next year. So I think it's a lot about what Kenny Williams did as far as Robin's experience.
Yeah, we've been talking about that situation as well. Last year, I talked at length on the show how I didn't really like Sandberg at that time, but this year I do, just because of the direction the team's going. I think last year, if they would have struggled with him, the fans would have got on him a little bit. This year, if they were to have a rebuilding year, I think the fans would understand a little more. And I think with Rhino, you would think long-term guy. With Mike Quadi, you don't really think that. You usually think, you know, Mr. Clean or Halloween or something with him.
Yeah, I gotta say, Quadi looks like Mr. Clean. But you gotta say, the one thing about them going maybe back to Sandberg this year, I don't think that would be a great idea, because you're looking at the Cubs rebuilding for the next 3 to 5 years, and with the young guys they're bringing in, and with guys like Castro, and you got Austin Jackson, you got McNutt, you got Coleman, you got all these guys that their potential to make a difference. I think if you bring in a guy like Dave Martinez, or talk to Joe Torre or something like that, find guys with experience, I think that would be the smarter move on the Cubs part as far as management is concerned.
Well, you said Austin Jackson. That's actually Brett Jackson. Austin plays.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Sorry about that.
Now, I know Joe Buck and Tim McCarver don't correct each other very often, but that's what we do here at TY's 20. Is that cool?
Yeah, that's cool.
Well, my next question is a question about Theo Epstein, And the question is, what would you do this offseason? Because Theo definitely has a long-term plan. You can definitely tell that. But the question is, for this offseason, do you get rid of everyone and rebuild? Do you try to get a couple free agents and try and contend? And is there a way that you could possibly do both?
You know, I think there is a way you could do both. But it's not, I don't think it's the best thing for the Cubs. You got Theo, you got Pujols. Obviously, any team would want them. However, in the next 3 to 5 years, want to spend that money on guys who are Asian, you want to go into the farm system. And as they've been doing, develop like the Dominican program and just their farm system in general. I think as far as, well, I'll start off with Ramirez and Brown, two of the biggest offensive Cubs. Ramirez, I mean, I don't think they should resign him. I think they should find out what they have in Jackson and the other guy, the Ritters.
Yeah.
They need to find out what they have in them to before they're going to do this teacher thing. And Zambrano, they need to use some of his contracts, send him to Florida, in my opinion. Ozzy wants them, let him go. Let's just drive each other nuts. If I was Theo, that's what I would do. I might hang on to Quadi for one more year because he does know some of these guys. But I it's tough for me to say that because I don't see him going past that. So I don't see another manager who can take over right now.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of trying to do both, and all indications from the things that Theo's been saying, it sounds like he may be interested in trying to do both, which is rebuild and also try and contend. He's not going to give up any of our young players in a trade, but he might be a player in free agency, which obviously doesn't cost you any prospects. But I think a guy like Prince Fielder and some of the guys like that can help you long-term and in the short-term. And I think that even if we don't contend next year, we can still look for guys that are going to help for the future and make this thing not last as long of a rebuild as what some may think. So we'll see what happens. But how about the White Sox this offseason? What are they looking for? Another Adam Dunn?
One more thing back on the Cubs really quick. I will say this. I think that if any team's rebuilding, they've got the best foundation. They got this guy Epstein, then you got Castro, and you got guys you can build on. You got Coleman, you got guys that you can build on. And I think Coleman will be better than what he showed this past year. He's just kind of rough. And you got to remember something too. It wasn't that long ago that the Cubs had probably the best farm system, pitchers wise in the majors, when they had Willis, Nolasco, Wood, Fryer, Toronto. So it's not like the Cubs have had it bad. I just think they need to get back to that. Back to that base. They need to get armed, and I think that's key for them. For the White Sox, I gotta tell you, they're in territory as far as baseball is concerned. They have some contracts there that they can't get rid of. They're not able to get rid of. And as far as their farm system goes, it's terrible. It's terrible, as Charles Martin would say. They got nobody. All they got is they got the Alejandro Diaz is 26, but he's not young. You don't consider that. You got Vichedo in front of him, but you got to give him the year out. And you got these other guys taking room where he plays, and Canerco's getting old, and Krasinski's getting old, and then you look at the White Sox. Farm system, and right now, really, Robinson first kind of got put in a position that it's tough for any manager to do, really. Because it's purgatory for him, man. They're going to be 500 next year, and it's going to be tough. 3 years with these other guys, they're going to be 500 just about every year. And the pitching is going down. Brady's probably going to be gone. Banks and Floyd, they got to make a decision. So I just, the White Sox, they got a lot to do.
They do still have Hawk Harrelson, so that's good news.
The good news is we signed him for an extension.
He gone.
I think he ain't gone yet, but he's still got a little time to force that Hawk one.
Well, let's shift gears now, if you know how to do that. You know how to do that? I don't know how to do that. I'm gonna pretend like I know how to do that. I'm an automatic kind of guy, but anyway, let's take a quick look or talk, I should say, at the NFL. Go ahead and take your best shot at the Colts. I know you're dying to say something about the winless Colts.
I have, but I gotta say, it's fun to watch. I mean, as a fan of the Bears, you hear how the Colts do it right, and you know what they do, but it's fun to watch Manning sit on the side. You know, the guy, obviously, it shows how good he is when your team, they're getting killed today. Last I saw it 20-0 against Tennessee. It was a decent team, but, you know, it shows how good he really is as a team, because they would not be winless right now if he was playing. I will say, I don't think they should play him. There's talk at the end of the season that they're going to play him. I don't think they should. I think Manning should sit out the year. He's got three or four games left in him, you know. And they should sit him, and if Andrew Luck is there, they should try to get him, or you know. They can use a running back, I'll tell you that. They could really use a running back. Adai and Donald Brown aren't getting it done. They need another one this year, too. Wayne's getting old, Reggie's getting old, man. I know you guys don't want to hear it down there, you know, but he's on his way out here in a couple of years, and then Garcon is not the guy, and there, he's a good number two. He's not the super mayor of the group, so. They're kind of like doing the White Sox now right now, to be honest. They got a lot to do.
See, a lot of people are saying that, and to me, I'm not surprised at all at how terrible they are without Peyton, and they've just completely built around him, which is all good when he's healthy and obviously terrible when he's not. But I really think they would be a 5-3, possibly even 6-2 team at this point in the year. Now, the second half of their schedule is pretty brutal. I don't see them winning any games there either. But to this point, they would probably be – I mean, they've been within 7 points in a lot of games that they would have won with Peyton. I don't think they have as much to fix as you'd think, and maybe you use that top couple pick there in the draft to either trade down and get more picks, or maybe you go after a stud to replace Reggie Wayne or somebody like that. I don't think Peyton's going to play this year, but I'm just not convinced that they're going to end up with Luck, even if they had the number one pick, just because I don't think they can afford both him and Manning, and I don't think Andrew Luck is going to want to sit for 3 years. We will see what happens, Patches. Hey, thanks for stopping by on the show. We gotta let you go. Time constraints. I'm going to get called by the FCA, and we're going to get fined. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, he's
I don't have one of those, though, so I got to let you go. Thanks for stopping by the show, and you'll get a parting gift in the mail. Don't miss it. All right, so we're almost out of time. I did want to make a note here about the NBA, and surely by next month's podcast, We will have many more answers about this topic as well, but it's kind of been an on and off again type deal where they've been meeting the players in the union for, you know, so many, players and the owners. They've been meeting, and sometimes it's been 15-hour days, 16-hour days, and it seems like they're getting closer. And let's not forget that whenever a deal is struck, assuming there is one struck, things will get real exciting real quick because they'll only have about 4 weeks until the season starts. They still need to have a free agent signing period. And so a team like mine, the Pacers, who have about $20 million to spend in the offseason, that's going to be a very exciting week or two, or however long they decide that it's going to be. If you also think about it, the ruling out now an 82-game season, so if they do play, it will be shortened. And if you think about that, that could make things very exciting this year for the NBA. As a fan, I don't want to have a shortened season. I want to have the full thing. But looking forward, let's not forget how exciting that could make it. Seedings could be impacted. Certain older players would be fresher come playoff time. And there could be some good teams that may not be peaking yet at that time. I mean, some teams take until the final couple weeks of the season to get rolling. And it's definitely going to be an interesting thing. But we hope to have more news next time we talk on TY's 20. And really hopeful that the NBA can at least have a shortened season. As I predicted a couple months ago, I feel like they're going to have a 60-game season or so. And I hope that that's the case, especially with the Colts being so terrible and baseball season being over. I would really like to watch the Pacer basketball this year. So we hope that happens. And that is all the time we have on the show today. Thank you for listening. And as Harry Carey would always say, only the shadow knows. We'll see you next time.